appreciate everybody taking some time to connect for today's webinar. Steve Parisi here. So today we are going to go through a lot of material on loans. We're going to look at different payment or repayment, or we should say no repayment options. And we're really going to dig into spreadsheets, illustrations to see how the policies actually work, since the whole idea of the infinite banking concept heavily revolves around utilizing policy loans. And conceptually, it is great. What we have a lot of demand for is just understanding the mechanics. How do the loans work? What are my actual options? Conceptually, it might make sense, but as a consumer, I want to see it. I don't want to just hear it conceptually. No, show me the numbers so I can actually see what it looks like, which if you've attended or watched any of our webinars, you know we're very big on that. So let's begin. Our Word document is much shorter tonight. We're going to spend a lot of time on the different spreadsheets and explaining our different options when it comes to loans. Just a couple bullet points, and this would be good to go over. When it comes to loans, there are two main things I want to touch on. First, the loan interest accrual and dividend treatment. So when it comes to taking loans from a life insurance policy, it is very similar to that of a line of credit against a piece of real estate. For example, if I have a life insurance policy, we're going to explain the loan interest treatment and exactly how it works here. We'll assume I have a policy. Let's assume I've got cash value of $100,000. For simplicity's sake, let's assume the death benefit is $500,000. Now, we're going to assume I'm going to use this policy and I'm going to borrow out half of my cash value. Let's assume I pull out $50,000 in the form of a loan. What we always have access to, what I can borrow, what I can loan from a policy, my equity that is available is my cash value. So how it works is when I borrow from a policy, we'll assume I pull out $50,000. Let's assume that the loan interest rate is 5%. Typically, you'll see them range from about 5 to 6% with most reputable companies. Some have an 8% range, but that 5 to 6 is a safe range to peg it at. And let's assume the insurance policy or company has a dividend rate of 6%. So let's lay this out up top actually. We'll assume I have a dividend of 6% and a loan rate of 5%. I've got $100K in cash value, a $500,000 death benefit. I decide to loan out $50,000. Here's how the policy will function. I will still receive dividends on any money in cash and any money loaned out. So I'm still going to earn appreciation on the entire $100,000 as if I never touched it. Loan interest of this 5% will be due. I have the option to pay it or not, but it is due and payable to the insurance company. It does not go back to our own policy. Goes to the insurance company. Just like if I owned a home or a piece of property, and we'll assume that the appraisal value went up by 5% every single year like clockwork. If I take a mortgage or line of credit against that piece of property, let's say it's a line of credit, let's say for this example, the line of credit is 5%. Where does that 5% go to? The bank, the lender. The 5% appreciation is credited to the entire home value, not just the remaining equity. It's the same exact thing with a cash value life insurance policy, only I've got guarantees that it goes nowhere but up, and cash values in a life insurance policy are extremely liquid. I can get to it very easily. Now, why a company would continue to pay me interest via dividends on funds in cash and funds borrowed. The incentive for the insurance company really isn't the death benefit. What they hold as collateral is the amount I loan out. Remember, an insurance company's first and foremost obligation is to pay life insurance claims. So if a policyholder dies with a loan outstanding, that is that much less that they have to pay in a death benefit claim. And you're going to see examples if I pay nothing, if I let that loan interest accrue. If I don't pay it, what it will do, it'll add on to my loan balance and it will collateralize the death benefit further. And you're going to see exactly how that works. Now, when it comes to the loan interest, if it's 5%, if I take a $50,000 loan at 5%, that comes out to $2,500. The terminology for loan interest, life insurance policy, loan interest rates, how it works is the loan interest accrues at what is called annual simple interest. Now, we've gone over this before in several webinars, so we're just going to touch on it very briefly here. What it means, annual simple interest, is that over the course of the year, it accrues at simple interest. So how I would calculate this is if my interest rate was 5%, I'd actually want to divide that by 365 days. And that would give me my loan interest that would accrue daily. So that would come out to approximately $6.85 per day. And if I pay nothing on it after 365 days, I would have accrued the full $2,500. It's accruing at simple interest over the course of the year. If I pay any of it down prior to the 365-day mark, I am going to pay less in interest. If I do not pay any loan interest at all, then it will compound. That $2,500 is added to the balance, and then annual simple interest begins to accrue on 52.5, the $2,500 plus the original $50,000. Let's progress on. I've got non-direct and direct recognition. We have in here, does it really matter? And I should add, does it really matter with one of the four major mutual companies? And rather than just talk concept, we're actually going to show the math behind it, how these carriers work. The answer, looking at real historic data, not just illustrations and conceptually speaking, the answer is no. It doesn't really matter when you see how it works, what direct recognition companies do with the big four are much different than smaller direct recognition carriers. Main point here, regardless of what carrier we are using or considering, study the numbers for the answer. This way we don't have buyer's remorse because we purchased off of what someone said and then find out after the fact that things are a bit different than what we were told. So the repayment options or the different options we're going to study here are policies where we look at a loan coming out with no repayments, paying the interest only, repaying the loan in full over time, and then repaying the loan and throwing in extra interest, which we have a separate webinar on that. That is just throwing money into additional PUAs. So let's go to the spreadsheets. First, we will start out with a non-direct recognition company. Now, one thing to touch on, and we'll pull up the illustration here first. We're big on what? If you've seen any of our content, policy design and four major mutual companies, we know the policy will perform. The more cash value I have in the account, the greater the degree I can then practice the banking concept or take income, whatever my end goal is with the policy. So when it comes to the policy design, in case this is new to us and we have not been exposed to this yet, because this is critical, money can go towards either premium or cash, which is that PUA rider. I'm not going to go into detail with this, the premium or whatever the insurance expense, whatever that number is, I can contribute, often with the big four, and a lot of small carriers as well, up to 10x that number into the policy per year. So these examples, let's pull one of them up. First, we'll look at the Guardian. We have a policy that's going to carry a $5,000 underlying premium insurance expense that does not show up in cash value either the first year or the first and second year. Guardian's the first year, MassMutual is the first and second year. After that, you'll see that $5,000 coming back to cash for me. So what that means is I have the ability, the option to add up to $50,000 per year, but I am not committed to it. So you're going to see examples, firstly, with $40,000 a year going in instead of $50,000. The reason why, when we get to the extra interest option, if I want to be able to throw extra money into a policy, I've got to make sure I am aware of the insurance company limits and also the MEC limits when I set a policy up. Same thing with the MassMutual policy we have designed. So here's a policy. When I look at my annual outlay, I see $40,000 a year going in the basic option. Of that $40,000, here's my $5,000 base premium. And when I scroll down here, this policy is equipped with the ability to handle $50,000 per year payments. And you're going to see an example where I increase my contributions in some of the loan studies. So we deliberately set it up like this. Even with that said, my break-even point here with Mass, it's pretty much year five. And with Guardian, just about year four. And I'm not even maxing the account out yet here, which is nice. Let's go back to the Excel sheets. And we'll study the non-direct recognition option first. So on the left, and on all the different tabs here, you can see it towards the bottom, we've got the no repay, interest only, full repayment, and extra interest payment. On all of these, what we're going to see first is the example on the left, which shows what the policy looks like if I just pay money into the account and let it sit and grow. Don't pull out any loans, nothing like that. And why this is always beneficial to look at is anytime I look at any kind of loan scenario, whether I'm paying it back or not, or doing a partial payment, is look at the original policy where I just let it sit and grow, so I can see what the true impact is of loans when I take them from the policy. Always want to look at that. So on the left, I have an example. $5,000 base, $50,000 MEC, paying in $40,000 a year. Got my dividend column, which we pulled directly from the illustration, just letting the money sit and grow. Okay, beautiful. Now I want to compare that to the exact same policy, but where I take out loans. And to keep all of these examples consistent and simple as possible, because we've got a lot of spreadsheets here, we're looking at one loan of $150,000 coming out of the policy. Can take out more, can take them out in different pieces in time. We've got different points in time. We've got more content on that in other webinars as well, which I'd refer you to. Here, what I want to focus on is I pull out a $150,000 loan. Again, this is a no repayment option. So what's going to happen loan interest will accrue. Before we start studying the loan interest, like that example we opened with, when I borrow money from a policy, my cash value is my equity that I can access. If I want to relate this to real estate, so I see my available equity decrease compared to the example on the left when I pull from the policy. Now, what is very interesting about this is when I look at the dividend column, I pulled out $150,000. If I just focus on the next 3 years, maybe I'm looking at all the years at this point, and that's fine if you're scrolling down. But what's the difference in the dividends? And we pulled this all directly from the illustrations. We have those as well. They haven't changed. This is a non-direct recognition company and policy right here. So what that means is when I have a loan outstanding, the insurance carrier does not recognize the fact that I have a loan outstanding, and I continue to receive the same dividends and interest as if I never pulled money out in the first place. Quick side note, this dividend on all insurance illustrations does not include the guaranteed 4%, only the surplus. I'd like to mention that in case we're looking at it compared to the loan interest column. So as we study this illustration, dividends are the same. How that happens, why an insurance company would do that. Again, remember what they collateralize. I pull out the $150,000 loan. Here's my death benefit. If I add $150,000 to that number, this is what it gives me. So the example with no loan on it. At year five, my death benefit was $1,465,000. Year five, on the example on the right, I pull out a $150,000 loan. My death benefit is $1,315,000. The death benefit reduces dollar for dollar. That's what the insurance company is holding as collateral. As time passes, let's look at age 80. In the example where I just let it sit and grow, I've got $1.5 million in cash and almost $2 million in death benefit. The example on the right, my cash value at the same point in time, age 80, is $827,000. Significantly less, still much more than what I paid in. My death benefit is $1.3 million. And what's interesting about this, so what's happening in the dark red column, what that is, that's my loan balance if I go back up. So as the loan interest accrues, that's tacking onto the loan balance. By age 80, the loan balance has grown from $150,000 to almost $650,000. And again, this assumes I never pay it. How it's satisfied is when I die, the death benefit on the example on the right is exactly $648,000 less than the example on the left. That's what's collateralized. So this is the loan option with no repayments. And what you see consistent all the way through, how my cash value continues to grow. Here the dividends are outpacing the loan interest. But when I compare them to what I have here over here on the left, identical all the way through, non-direct recognition, not recognizing the fact that I have a loan outstanding. Okay, so here's an option where I don't pay anything back. It's optional. I get a loan interest bill that says loan interest due every year from the insurance company, but it's not due. Well, it is, but I don't have to pay it. Let's put it that way. If I don't pay it, policy is going to borrow from the cash value to pay it, and it's going to collateralize my death benefit. Let's progress on. Let's look at the interest-only option. We can start to move through things a little bit faster now, as we'll see a lot of consistencies, just different options here. Here's the loan and then the interest-only payment option. So on the left, exact same scenario we saw in the first op, first sheet. $40,000 a year going into the policy for 10 years. I've got a 5K base and capacity to pay $50,000 per year. Okay. On the right, I pull out the same loan at the same point in time, $150,000. Death benefit on the non-loan example at that point, $1,465,000. I pull out the $150,000. Death benefits collateralized, $1,315,000. Dollar for dollar reduction. Loan interest rate here is assumed at 5%. Here I go, that's $7,500. In purple, we've got the loan repayment, which is each year $7,500. All I'm doing here is paying the loan interest. My loan balance never grows. So if I scroll all the way down, just like the last example, my dividends never change. Example to the left and to the right, identical all the way through. The nice thing is here is my loan balance remains at $150,000. So at age 80, the example on the left, and this is just growth only, meaning I don't touch the funds. Cash value is $1.5 million. Death benefits $1.966. Example on the right, loan balance is $150,000. I haven't pulled out additional loans, and I've only paid the interest all the way through, so the balance has not grown. Cash value is $1,350,000. It is $157,500 less than the example on the left. The loan balance plus the loan interest. Death benefit is still a clean $150,000 less than the example on the right. Main point is just showing how the death benefit is always collateralized via the loan. Here's where it starts to get interesting. Let's look at the repayment option. Left, paying money in just letting it sit and grow. On the right, so I pull out my $150,000 loan. Same treatment with the cash value and death benefit as the other options. I don't need to repeat that every time. Now, here, under the loan repay column, this example displays me repaying the principal only. I should say the principal balance only. There is interest here, but I'm going to chip away at the loan balance. Here we're assuming a $40,000 per year payment. Last year, just about 10 grand. So if I tally up my repayments, what do I have there? If we round up, about 170K. How much did I borrow out? 150K. What that means is that extra $20,000 was interest that went to the insurance company. They do make money off of loans. What I really should say is that extra 20K is not interest I pay back to myself. It doesn't work like that. Now, if I stop there, this would not make any sense for a consumer. Where it makes sense for the policyholder is looking at the dividend column. Does that change at all? I pull out that $150,000 loan, look at my loan balance. At what year is that dividend different compared to the example on the left? It's the same all the way through. Year 10, my dividend is $8,364 on the example where I just let it sit and grow. The example where I pulled $150,000 out of the policy, I borrowed it out, paid it back. Any other account would carry a lost opportunity cost. Here, my dividend is still $8,364. And then what's really interesting about it is once it's repaid, look at your cash value. Look at your death benefit and compare that again to the growth scenario. What do I notice? at any point in time. Values are identical. My cash value is fully restored to exactly what it would have been as if I never pulled the money out in the first place, meaning there's no lost opportunity cost with cash value life insurance. I pass a dollar through the policy. That dollar is now forever at work for me. That's really the big draw and attraction to these accounts outside of the tax benefits and safety. Let's look at one more option here with non-direct, and then we'll look at the direct recognition option quickly. We're going to look at the extra interest payment. And just to be as clear as I can be on this, paying extra interest to a policy entails adding more money into PUAs. That's all it is. And that extra interest does not have to be applied to the policy with a loan repayment, meaning I can dump money into PUAs with or without a loan. So on the left, example where I just let the funds sit and grow. And on the right, so before we look at the loan interest payments, is the loan principal balance payments are exactly the same as the last tab we looked at. This is the loan and repaying the balance only option. It's the exact same thing. The difference, we'll circle this in green, is we're looking at extra PUA payments. What I'm doing is applying another $10,000 on top of the 40. So this would be, beginning year six, implementing a 1090 split. Right? What that means is of my total $50,000 per year contribution, what was my base premium in this example? We've got it up here. And it was on the illustration we looked at quickly as well. 5K. I'm 10Xing that contribution each year. That's why we set these examples up with 40K a year going in. If I max a policy out from day one, meaning I've got a 1090 split, I'm funding up to the MEC limit, and then I borrow, I cannot pay extra interest into the policy because I'm already funded up to that MEC limit. So if my intention or goal is to add more money to a policy down the road, and I know we've gone over this in a lot of past webinars, this really has to do with the policy design. I want to make sure I equip that life insurance policy to have the ability to accept future contributions. I'm going to build in more MEC space and potentially a slightly higher premium or 10% of my desired contribution. But what I'll see in this example is because I'm stashing more money into the policy, well, naturally, I'm going to have more money in the account. By year 10, I've paid in an additional $50,000. I've got $523 in cash in this example. Compared to the example on the left, where I just paid $40,000 in for 10 years, I've got $468. Right, so paying in extra interest, again, what this is just throwing money into cash. I'm just dumping more money into cash, regardless if it's being applied with a loan interest payment or not. Good question. Let's answer this one right now. How does reduced interest rates, as reported by the Fed today, impact dividend rates? What about policy loan interest rates as well? Really good question. So on the dividend rate, it can impact it. What's going to impact a dividend rate more than anything else is really where the insurance company is positioning assets. Historically, they've invested very heavily in bonds. And if bond rates are low, which they have been for a long time now, that's what can pull a dividend down. What insurance companies have been doing, in particular the major mutuals, from what we've seen just in their studies, is instead of investing in bonds, they still do that, but you see a much lower allocation. You go back to the 80s, you might have seen about 80% of an insurance company's portfolio invested in bonds. Okay, today, take a company like MassMutual, who we're looking at right now, and a lot of companies follow this trend. Between 50 to 55% of their funds invested in bonds and declining, where they are repositioning their dollars is businesses. They're acquiring other businesses fully or partially. They're also buying high-end commercial real estate, other income-producing assets that produce a safe return, not in the stock market, that can pull that dividend rate up, keep it competitive. With policy loan rates, that is much more sensitive to interest rates. Often you'll see loan rates, and this more so applies to variable loan rates, because a fixed loan rate is fixed forever. How it works, if I take a company like a MassMutual and New York Life, even Guardian with their variable loan rate option, they have a 5% or 4.5% floor. That's as low as they can go for the insurance company or the insurance policy loan. What they use as a gauge to determine what their loan rate would be, what would make it higher, is they are following very closely Moody's Corporate Bond Index, which is why insurance loans on the variable side have been at 5% for so long now, is that bond index has been below 5% for a long time now. So likely the loan rates with the new interest rate cut is probably going to stay low for a little bit. The dividend, it'll be interesting to see what happens, since insurance companies have, in a sense, been preparing for it. I wouldn't be surprised, though, to see dividend rates remain somewhat level or go down a little bit as a result. All right, so let's progress on to the direct recognition example. And what we've got here, exact same thing that we had looked at before. In the sense, 5K base, ability to pay in 50,000, but only 40,000 a year going in. Now, this is a direct recognition policy. This is Guardian here. And we hear far too much other groups and agencies out there that just say direct recognition is bad and they reduce your dividend. Do the research. How Guardian works, Northwestern does something very similar to this. Guardian has a 5.85% dividend rate and a fixed loan rate at 6%. And their direct recognition. On paper, that does not look good, and the direct recognition piece is scary. How they work is, if I loan funds, so if I have $100,000 in cash, and let's assume I borrow 50 of it, half. What'll happen? Any money remaining in cash value will receive the basic dividend rate. 5.85%. I didn't touch it. The money loaned, I'm paying a 6% interest expense on that, the cost to borrow. The dividend applied to the loaned portion is adjusted. I have a direct recognition company. They recognize the fact that I have a loan outstanding. The dividend is adjusted to 6%. They raise it. And again, Northwestern does something similar to this. So direct recognition company does not automatically mean that they lower the dividend rate. We've got to understand the carrier's terms and such. And we've got other videos and more content on this, short and long versions. So we can actually see this here, when I take this $150,000 loan out, See the death benefit held as collateral. I see the cash value reduction there. Look at my dividend. On the loaned example, the year I pull out the $150,000, zoom in here. My dividend is what? $3,361. The example on the left, where I just let the money sit and grow, my dividend's what? $3,134. It's greater in the loan example. Why? Because that $150,000 is receiving a 6% dividend instead of a 5.85% dividend. Let's progress on to the interest-only example. Here, pretty straightforward. Same as the mass example, so we don't have to go through all the same details. I pull out the 150. Cash value reduction, right? Line of credit, equity I have access to, death benefit collateralized. There's my loan balance. There's my loan interest. My loan interest repayment. One thing that's good to point out here, pretty interesting too. You see the loan interest amount drop at 865. Goes from about 8,500 down to about 5,800. Why that is this is just this particular company fixed their fixed loan rate provision. What Guardian does is they start out with a 6% fixed loan rate, and at age 65 or year 20, whichever one comes later, the fixed rate drops to 4%. And that's really used as a means to pull income from the accounts. Let's look at the last two quickly here. I've got my repayment option. So again, always comparing it to what the policy would look like if I let it sit and grow. Here's $40,000 a year going in for 10 years. Same thing with the example on the right. Here's my $150,000 loan. And here are my loan repayments. I have a 6% interest rate as opposed to the MassMutual 5% loan interest rate. So that's why I'm going to pay a little bit more in interest if I tally up those payments. About $175,000. So that means I borrowed out $150,000 and paid back an additional $25,000 in interest to the lender, the insurance company. Now, at the same time, they continue to pay me dividends on this $150,000 and on the money in cash. And how it worked, money in cash and equity receives their basic dividend rate, a 5.85%, and the loaned amount, whatever that loan balance is, receives a 6% dividend. And why this is good to be aware of, not that there's a big difference, it's a 0.15% spread, but let's look at year 10 when the loan's paid back. Cash value is what? $463,688. On the example, when I borrowed and repaid it, $463,688, compare that to the example where I just let it sit and grow. I pay the same $40,000 in for 10 years, $462,931. Marginal difference, but what's consistent here is I have more money in the example where I borrowed and repaid, and that has to do with the direct recognition crediting. They're raising the dividend rate on borrowed funds. And why that's extremely important to be aware of is when I go on to the extra interest repayment, which can make things confusing, is when I borrow and repay, that alone, the fact that I get a slightly enhanced dividend rate on borrowed funds is going to enhance things. When I pay in extra interest, which again is just adding more PUAs, that's why we wrote it out here on the spreadsheet, can make this look better than what it really is. All I'm doing here is max funding the policy. So on the example on the left, Didn't spend much time on this. We almost always do. Strong design, breaking even just about year four. And then I kick my contributions up. Loan repayment is the same as the last example we looked at. Dumping in extra funds. There's my cash value difference. Obviously, the dividends will be higher on the example on the right because I pumped in an additional $50,000. Main point, I know we covered a lot and threw in some extra information with non-direct and direct recognition. I know that was not on the description of what we'll be covering this evening via the webinars, but I know it's something that comes up quite frequently. Hope this was resourceful to everyone. We can open the floor to questions. Get some Guardian software up. And you can also respond to the link you received this email from, or you can email me directly right at our info account. Here, I'll get back to you right away, or my team will. If you do have questions, please use the chat box. Sure thing. No, thanks, Tui. Thanks for the question earlier as well. Appreciate it. Good question for Manny. Is there an additional fee if a loan is not paid in full within 12 months? No. So the only thing I have with loans are the loan interest. So if it's not paid in 12 months, what's going to happen is any unpaid loan interest, if I decide not to pay that, that'll be tacked onto my balance, and then simple interest will begin to accrue on that beginning the next policy year. But there's no additional service fee or anything like that. Not with the major mutual companies we use, at least. Or we recommend, I should say. Armando, good point. More than a question. Yeah, seems like there's an incentive to borrow with Guardian, being that it's direct recognition. Yeah, how they raise the dividend rate. We've got some other segments on this. If you go to our channel, which you can just go to IPC Global Inc. And you can type in just direct recognition or Guardian or loan interest in the search box. So what they do, their loan rate, Guardian that is, for the longest time was 8%. It was a fixed rate, and they did the exact same thing. So Guardian policyholders that had a loan rate at 8% when they borrowed, or if they borrow today, they get an 8% dividend on borrowed funds, right? So that doesn't hurt them at all in that respect. They actually, when they pay it back, they see it higher than what it would have been otherwise. With that said, what Guardian also does is if I borrow, and let's assume my dividend rate is higher, say it's 6.5% and I have a 6% loan rate, they'll often adjust it where they create a wash effect where it's 6%. That's been their practice forever. They've always created that wash effect. Where that has been lucrative or an incentive, it's really for a while now in the low interest rate environment. And they could change it up. All companies can change it up. But now it's a nice feature. And we've got other content as well where they offer a non-direct recognition policy after 10 years. It's good to study whatever policy or company we're looking at. Sure. No, thanks for the comment. Okay. Well, everybody, again, appreciate you taking some time, or if you're watching the recording, thanks for viewing, and have a great day. We'll talk to you all soon.